I am the way, the truth, and the life. Bishop PJ absolutely and completely believed those words. This was his gospel of all gospels, that there was a place in his father's house for him. And he believed and lived those words completely and abundantly in his own life. And more so even in those last days, when he died so peacefully, so full of grace. It was just, and so many of us got to see him and witness this incredible gift of faith in those last moments. He got the news after having the back surgery, and he was recovering, that he had that pneumonia in his first lung. That night, I had a great chat with him, laughing about old times, and he was complaining to me that I was making him laugh because then he'd cough and then he'd start choking. And he said, "You're killing me." And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not trying. But anyway, the next day, he gets this news, shocking news, that the pneumonia had transferred to the next lung. And I came back immediately to the hospital when I found out. And he sits me, and of course, I'm sitting down, and he's lying there, and he's smiling. Gracefully says, "No, Brendan, I'm fine with this. I'm actually okay. I'm ready to go to the Father's house. I'm ready. Now, can I have a piece of chocolate?" And he got a piece of chocolate. But he was full of grace, full of humor, and full of faith right to the very last moment. And I'd like to share on those three things today in the Mass of Thanksgiving here as we celebrate the gift of who he was to us. So grace, first of all. I do the threefold because he's a closet Jesuit. You know, he always wanted the three. The Jesuits always pray and preach in threes. So I think that's to honor that Jesuit inside of him. So grace. All of us know how gracious he was, how gentle and how kind, almost to a fault. We were sharing this week earlier, and Father Sergio, one of his closest friend priests here at the diocese, was sharing how sometimes we'd get frustrated with him because he'd be too kind, too gracious. But I always remember he'd say, yeah, I know, yeah. But that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather be too kind than too harsh, Brendan. I said, yeah, you should try it. It might work for you. Again, his humor comes true. But the grace, he was always like to anyone. He had the remarkable gift of going into a room full of people. And no matter where and who it was, he would manage and somehow to make everyone feel special. That they were his special friend. And he had a way, whether it was the kitchen staff or the servers or the people on the way out or maybe somebody who was hurting and wounded, and he would somehow figure out that they needed that. And he would come over and he would touch them and greet them, and he would assure them of God's love for them. It was an amazing gift, so gentle, so kind, and it was purely authentic. There was no forced errors. He just did it, glided into any situation with everyone. And I suppose that's why the church is so full today, is because we all felt like we were that special friend. You know, he did it with children in a special way. He used to go to schools. He loved to visit schools because it got him out of the office. I mean, that was the real reason. I mean, he said that. He didn't hide it. But he would go into the class. He said, "Now, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. And you can't tell anybody else this. You're my favorite class." And then he would go to the next class and say, "Now, you can't tell anyone else, but you're my favorite class." And that's what he would do. But he had this great gift of being able to be gracious in all circumstances. And like, he was always so gracious, even afterwards. You're gone, you'll get a note in the mail. And then it would be, yeah, I know that his secretary, Pat Allen, wrote the email, but he'd always have signed it. And in some kind handwritten note. And like, I thought it was just me, but I looked around and you'll see all the notes had a handwritten note. Everyone got it. You mention your spouse, you might mention your friend, you might mention your parent, or you might mention how something that you did, how he remembered, I have no idea. But he was always so grace-filled, so full of grace to the last moment. You know, Monsignor Willie quoted Maya Angelou down at our clergy study week. And Maya Angelou was one of his favorite authors, and he loved her. And he used it very often. He said that people will not remember what you said. People will not remember what you did. People remember how you made them feel. My friend PJ, our bishop, you made us feel special. All of us, all the time. You made us feel loved, and you were gracious in doing that. Now to his humor. He had a great sense of humor, you all noticed, but it was dry as bone Irish humor. And you had to be careful because sometimes you could get the wrong end of it. He had in a way that was amazing that he could disarm a group of hostile people in a room in just the way he carries himself with a singular joke. And he had some favorites he used over and over again, particularly with tough audiences. Like, and they were usually self-deprecating jokes, but that was his favorite thing to do. One of his favorites was when we had Bishop Tom Daly as our auxiliary here, and PJ couldn't go to an event, so he sent Bishop Tom to the event. And as Bishop Tom gets up to give the invocation, a little old lady at the front with hard hearing said in not such a quiet voice, "Is that the new bishop? Where is the big one dead?" Well, Bishop Tom drove over to Bishop's house, PJ's house, just to tell him that joke. And PJ was telling it for years ever since. He just loved it. He used to joke with us at the office that, that I'm afraid of now, Brendan, I've been saying it so much, I'm afraid you're going to put it on my tombstone. The big one lies here. No, PJ, we won't put it on your tombstone because we have it on our hearts. The big one lies here in our hearts because you loved us so much. You know, he was so humorous, even in those last few days, he was still full of humor. In fact, the last night when we were waiting for Patrick, his nephew, to come in from New York, Monsignor Dan Welton, his best friend, and I and Karen, our nurse, we were waiting, and we were getting ready. He wanted to have the anointing with the commendation of dying, what we used to call the last rites, right? And so Dan and I were getting prepared, and I asked him, well, PJ, Patrick's going to be coming in now shortly, and do you want us to do the anointing and the commendation of dying before he comes, or do you want us to wait and wait for Patrick? And he says, well, I was thinking that I could wait for Patrick and have a chat with some of the family, and then a chat with Patrick, and then you could do the anointing of the sick, or the commendation of dying. Would that be okay, or do you want me to die now? No, that's okay. We'll wait until Patrick gets here. And so we did, and eventually we did get to it. And after, it was an emotional time calling all the family back home because it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and those video calls, and then the end of it, trying to ease the awkwardness, Patrick asked Uncle PJ, he says, "Uncle PJ, how did Monsignor Dan do with the anointing?" "Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it's a bit long." And then he looks at Dan in the eye and he says, "Dan, did you use the long version?" And Dan says, PJ, I used a proper version. He goes, he looks at Patrick and goes, yeah, the long version. I thought I was going to die before you finished. So, I mean, you have to understand, like, PJ, the whole way, right until his last breath, he was still full of humor, full of life. The reason why he could do that is because he was full of faith. There was no shadow of doubt in that man's mind where he was going. No shadow of doubt. As today's first reading from Genesis tells us that Abraham left all his land and all his property and family and went where the Lord asked him. So did PJ. He left everything behind and went where the Lord asked him. He followed the Lord and he went with where the church sent him, to San Francisco. But you know, his first love was Jesus. He believed Jesus was truly the way, the truth, and the life. And he knew without any shadow of death that there was a place in the Father's house for him. That's why he could be so full of humor and so gracious. He never worried, not for himself, not for any believer, in fact. He believes completely in God's mercy and God's love. You know, he had a deep passion for reading and was very, very well read, both breadth and depth. But he had, and I think Dan would agree, he had a proclivity to the Irish authors. And one in particular, was one of his favorites, was John O'Donohue. And so I'll finish with what John O'Donohue says about death and dying, and I think it sums up PJ completely. That oftentimes when we face death, we hear that the body contains and holds the soul. So we ask, where does the soul go when the body dies? But John O'Donohue adds, you see, we believe that the soul contains the body. And when the body dies, then the soul continues its journey onto eternal life and onto God. And that way, he says, the deathbed is a sacred and special place because it's more an altar than a bed. An altar in which we offer up the life and flesh and blood of our friend to the Lord and to his final journey to eternal life. John Donohue concludes with saying, summarizes the journey of life. He says, when we are born, we move from an invisible to the visible, and we become a traveler. Then we move through life, and then when we die, we become a traveler again. And we move from the visible to the invisible. We believe that PJ's spirit remains with us. His love remains with us. While he journeys to the Lord, his body may have died, but his spirit and his love most definitely has not. I want to conclude with this. PJ had many, many confirmations, and he always ended every confirmation every year in every place with the same words. And I think all the priests and many of you who've been there will know what they are. He said that he'll say this, and I'll finish this. Boys and girls, if you remember nothing else of what I said today, remember this. That God, that you are loved by God. Yes, loved. You. In all your weirdness and strangeness, you are loved by God. And if anyone ever tells you otherwise, they're a liar. Yes, they're a liar, because you are loved by God. My friend, my bishop, our friend, our bishop, you remember nothing else from today and our lives. You are loved by God and us. May the road rise to meet you. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the wind be always on your back. May the rains fall softly upon your field. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Rest in peace, my friend. God bless.